Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you so much for listening. I offer a heartfelt welcome to new listeners and a welcome back to existing subscribers. If you like this show, please do click on the subscribe button. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org. It's been a few months now since our 2019 Seeking Connection annual conference, which occurred in March in Bellevue, Washington. The staff here are already planning for our next conference in Santa Fe, New Mexico for 2020. And so in this podcast episode, Reverend Seifu Anil Singh-Malaris and I set out to summarize the conference and unpack how through the conference, we tried to manifest the public square of spiritual companionship. Then we give a preview for what to expect at our next conference in Santa Fe. In the next few days, we'll be adding a bunch of information to our conference website, which you can check out at www.sdievents.org.
You want to talk a little bit about the conference and its aftermath?
We can talk about the conference. Mm-hmm. I have had very little time to process any of it.
Yeah.
And even in the midst of it, I was mostly behind the scenes. So yeah. I didn't really have the opportunity to hear most of the speakers. I heard Bio talk about making sanctuary, which still is kind of haunting to me.
Yeah.
Just as a way of being that's not fighting the urgent moment, but kind of being within it and amidst it.
Mm.
But now I'm getting super specific, and maybe we want to speak a little
more. No, I mean, I have spent the last 2 or 3 weeks analyzing all of the feedback, speaking to members of SDI's Coordinating Council, speaking to a lot of SDI's leading lights about their take on the conference. So it's very much uppermost in my mind right now. I think the conference was a splendid manifestation of the spiritual direction, spiritual companionship, public square, in all of its messiness, right? So lots of moments of, you know, community, intimacy, community, discovery, recognition across faith lines, across gender lines, all of that. And also some of the tensions that come to the fore when tribal identity kind of comes into contact with other tribal identities, and we have to communicate across those gaps using our essence. And so some of that diversity and unity, that theme of diversity and unity and how to manifest the public square of spiritual direction, of spiritual companionship, are starting to manifest and manifested in the conference in a way that they haven't probably before that. And I think that that's a wonderful thing, and it also gives us a roadmap for the road ahead. Gives us a map for the road ahead of how are we going to deal with these, because we don't play in the shallow. If we played in the shallow end, we could just, you know, sing kumbaya and declare victory.
Yeah.
But we play in the deep end. We are deep water swimmer, psychologically, spiritually. And that means the risk of drowning. The risk of drowning, or the risk of drowning others, sometimes intentionally and most of the time unintentionally. by exclusion, right? So you stay over on your side because I don't want to talk to you right now or ever. And so that diversity and multiplicity and the invitation that we've made is a wonderful thing for SDI as an organization. And it also is going to require some really growing maturity in terms of facilitating that diversity and the dialogue that needs to accompany it so that we can accept each other for who we are. It's kind of like a marriage, right? You for those of us who've been married or been in relationships for a long time, you know, the first half of your relationship is usually spent trying to change the other person into who you want them to be, or who you know, criticizing them or judging them, or rather than, okay, I've made my choice. Can I live with this, you know, particular idiosyncrasy of his or hers? And I think that's the maturity of love, is to say, okay, she or he is not perfect, but neither am I. And I'm willing to accept. I'm willing to accept, not just accept as in put up with, but accept as in accept into my heart. And so that's a perfect analogy for what I think is going on at SDI right now. And what happened at the conference and what I think is increasingly manifesting in our community is an invitation to intimate acceptance, to loving acceptance of each other.
Yeah, beyond just tolerance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talk about and we create, you know, what you describe as the public square of spirituality, spiritual practice, spiritual companionship. Mm. And we talk about, you know, we're not looking to like convert you or change you, like come with your traditions intact, but come out transformed. Yeah. And so you spoke about the tribal identities that we bring to that public square. We all have them. And we're not necessarily asked to shed them, but I think on some level, in order to really practice hospitality, to really love the other, you have to be willing to let go of some of those things that prohibit you from being hospitable to the other, from truly loving the other, not just like tolerating them and saying like, okay, well, I suppose you have a right to be here too, but also like, I like love you and I love the spirit that you bring and the way that you live into that. And I can learn from that, and we can share that. Can you talk a little bit about what that, maybe that manifested at the conference even?
I think it did. I mean, I think the notion that you're talking about sometimes is described as radical hospitality. And it's described that way because to differentiate it from just the tolerance, the kind of shallow tolerance where you go, okay, fine, I'll put up with you. I don't really believe, I mean, I might still believe you're going to hell because you don't believe what I believe, but I'll put up with you, right? I can be civil for 3 days at a conference rather than, you know, I'm going to open my heart to you. But I think, so you touch on a few things that I think are important, and they've actually come up repeatedly in the last few weeks as we're processing this conference and the future of SDI. And that's the notion of, you know, family, lowercase f, and family, uppercase f. And so, you know, most of us have nuclear families. There's a father, there's a mother, or there's two parental units. Or one sometimes, right? I mean, the family, the notion of the traditional family is changing so quickly. But let's just assume that there's a unit with an older person or people and younger people, children, and that's our family. And then there's, you know, grandparents, and there's brothers and sisters and cousins, and that is part of our tribal unit. So we're tribal kind of by design in some way. And, you know, looking at that analogy, how our nuclear families or our extended families then commune with other families. And so we do that on Sundays at church, or we do that at the Zendo with, you know, people who come from lots of other families, and we have another family,
yeah,
which is built around our faith or built around our beliefs. We have families here at the office that's built around what we do for a living. And so I think there's no need to, it's not either or, right? It's both. You can have your small family, nuclear family, obviously. You can have your faith family, tribal family in some ways. And then you can have the larger kind of human family. And I think what we're trying to do at SDI is say, you can be all of those things. You can be all of those things. And you can be all of those things at a very deep level, not just, I'll put up with you, right? But, okay, you know, my chosen path, spiritual faith is X. And it works for me because of who I am right now. You know, it's also true that those paths tend to evolve over time. Mm-hmm. In fact, in some ways, significantly. And at the same time, wow, I can see the love in your eyes. You come from a different faith traditions, but wow, well, you're such a wonderful model of love and compassion and embrace and understanding and tolerance. I'd like to be like you. I'd like to have some of those traits that you say are rooted in your spirituality, which is so different than mine. And so I think that's the best outcome that I can see for the SDI family, this spiritual direction, public square, is where we are constantly generating empathy and understanding and growing learnings across our tribal, our you know, families of origin, if you will, in some ways, our nuclear families, our faith families, into being enriched in this larger community. And I think SDI is a microcosm for the world as a whole, in some ways, because, you know, right now tribal identities are killing us, literally, around the world. And we have an opportunity, and more than that, I think it's an invitation, a radical invitation, to model how to commune across these tribal identities, mm-hmm. which is, again, we don't have to shed. We just have to be aware of them and in some ways move beyond them.
Yeah. Do you have a vision for what the sort of result of that is, this sort of spirituality petri dish that we create, where we add a little bit of tribal identity and a little bit of, you know, intimacy and vulnerability and sort of see what grows there? I mean, I think I have a sense of where what is generated from that, which you mostly just described, but mm-hmm. I don't think that we really prescribe that. It's more just modeling what we already know, which is, you know, you were talking about all these disparate families, mm-hmm. and maybe we start realizing that we're all part of the same family.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we enter, here's a muddy quote, hopefully, we enter the world naked, and we need to enter into the grace of the intimate infinite naked as well. And that means shedding all of our clothes, shedding all of our roles, shedding all of our identities, as we talked about earlier, right? It means accepting the impermanence of everything that we love, and so that we can enter into a greater sense of belonging and community that requires us to enter naked. And so the outcome of the SDI, one outcome of the SDI community, is to create that space where we can all feel comfortable. And this analogy is somewhat problematic because naked makes people uncomfortable, but it's enter with a sense of vulnerability, with a sense that we don't need to hide who we are from the other, that we can be trusting enough to show who we really are in all of our imperfections and you know, traumas and other things that we carry, and that we'll be welcomed and accepted into this space, this communal space, where we can all be that way. And so the enter naked analogy is, that's the vision of a larger space where You know, for a moment, we all say, okay, we're going to take off our clothes, our trappings, if you will, and enter into a much deeper communion, which is the place that we're being led to anyway.
Yeah.
And where we come from anyway. Mm-hmm. Right? So we enter the world naked. We'll leave the world naked also. Naked means shorn of all of our attachments and physicality and, you know, all of the things that we identify as being who we are on a relative scale. We can't take any of that with us when we exit. And so we enter naked, we leave naked, and to access the intimate infinite and to access the God in each other, we have to be willing to be free and vulnerable.
It's a tall order for most people. It is.
Yeah, well, we're not lacking in ambition at SDI.
I would imagine that terrifies a lot of people. That would be terrifying to be so vulnerable as to allow people to really see you, you know, to see your essence, your truest self. I believe that SDI is a place where, like, that's handled delicately and gently. You know, it's not like we're just, you know, sort of calling you out for childhood things and, you know, institutional shapings and things like that. It's more of an inner work and an inner process. Yeah. And in this community of spiritual companions, we're there to sort of help you identify those things, but not necessarily to, like, point and pick them apart, right? Like, it's not about shaming somebody.
No. No, it's not about shaming, and it's not also, you know, we all of us have this built into us. We, you know, it's nice when we get inspired by somebody else, but we're not, as spiritual directors and companions, we're not going, hey, do what I do. Right? I mean, if you find some inspiration in what I do, great. But you have your own sense of your own journey. And again, I'm a mirror. I'm just like, oh, now, do you realize this, you know, as I said in my article, do you realize this about how friends do? It's like, well, Matt, you know, you have a tendency to do this in situation X, right? In your relationships. And only longtime friends can do that, because you won't accept that kind of criticism, that kind of feedback from just anybody. It has to be somebody who you trust, and you go, wow, that person really has known me a lot. Am I really like that? Oh yeah, I guess I am, you know? And so that's really what we're trying to do, is just provide that gentle, intimate mirror to people so that they can see themselves. It's scary, and again, this is ground that we just covered earlier. It's scary in the same way that God is scary, right? I mean, there's that admonition in the Hebrew Bible about, if you look into the face of God, you know, you'll be consumed, you'll be devoured. And that speaks, I'm interpreting that metaphorically right now, to go, in order to access that deepest of deep vulnerabilities, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare ourselves. That's the whole notion of die before you die, right? The death of the ego, the acceptance of the impermanence of all things, loss and sorrow, all of those things. And so I think that's an opportunity that we can help manifest how people are doing that, accessing that deepest and overcoming that deepest of fears. You know, it's like jumping off a cliff. Like, no, I don't want to jump off a cliff. I'm going to die. And yet that leap of faith, or that small step off the cliff, which plunges us into infinity, is our deepest fear. And yet that's the way in, right? We don't grow unless we suffer. And I wish that weren't true, but I have yet to find any indication that it's not true. Mm-hmm. So.
Support for this SDI podcast comes from Siena Retreat Center, offering a spiritual direction training program in an ecumenical setting and grounded in the principles of the emerging universe story. Siena Retreat Center is located on Lake Michigan between Chicago and Milwaukee, and online at www.sienaretreatcenter.org. Siena spelled S-I-E-N-A.
The invitation.
Yeah.
And that's actually what I think we can do. We don't need to manifest, you know, like we're some holy society and we're enlightened society. It's just we invite people to walk that path and to walk that path with each other.
Mm-hmm. So we invite people to do that.
Yeah.
And our conference is a manifesting of that, journeying with people together. And you know, by all accounts, it's a very rich time. It's a very inspiring time. What can people do post-conference? And this is a common thing, maybe not, you know, not even just for SDI, but you have this sort of mountaintop experience and you have to come down.
Yeah.
Come down the mountain and go back to work and go back to whatever. Yeah. What are ways that people can continue to be in dialogue in that public square, it, you know, with themselves, you know, after such a mountaintop experience?
Yeah, so two answers come to mind. I mean, keeping in community with each other is something we do through our publications and our webinars and our various offering, you know, smaller conferences, meetings, dialogues, spiritual direction, taking it, talking about these kinds of issues with your spiritual companion. Is so keeping in community with each other in many different ways, keeping that flame alive and cultivating it. And then the cultivating part of it is one thing we haven't talked about yet this morning, which is contemplative practice, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's deep centering prayer or meditation or however you commune with the infinite intimately. Redoubling our efforts of that practice, being informed by what we have learned or are starting to discover or remember from our immersion in the conference or the SDI public square, and taking that within and cultivating it, right? So that our meditations and our prayers become deeper and deeper and more penetrating and more insightful and lead us to growing maturity and a sense of purpose and meaning, even if that purpose and meaning is not one that we can intellectually articulate. Maybe it manifests just as, you know, I've experienced this dropping off the cliff so many times in my life that I no longer fear taking that step off the cliff, because invariably it takes me to places that I need to go, even if I fear going there. And I've trained myself to take that step off the cliff repeatedly, so it doesn't feel like a cliff anymore. It's just like, oh, here we go again, you know. And so and that, you know, over time that leads to that experience of empathy and communion across tribal lines that we had a little smattering of at the conference, becoming embedded in who we are and how we operate in the world constantly. Every encounter, even the, especially usually the really negative ones, the ones that really challenge us, to go, what's the compassionate response to this person who is really violating my boundaries or violating a sense of decency, or you know, how do I respond to evil in the world?
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. So those are a couple of answers.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what I hear too is just that, like, we've created these containers and we've modeled it together. Now go do it. Now go back to your homes and know, this is something Mirabai Starr talks about, sort of being the guru.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We are our own gurus. So, you know, rather than being passive about like, well, you know, I go to the conference once a year and maybe I watch a webinar from time to time, but otherwise, you know, things are pretty mundane. It's like, no, what containers can you create in your own communities? And how can you model companionship and participate in companionship?
And yes, absolutely, in our communities and in our own families.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, mm-hmm. how do we mediate disputes between us and our partners and our children and our friends and, you know, people who challenge us in intimate ways, which is where the you know, where the rub really lies.
Yeah.
It's Krishnamurti says, like, how can you go change the world if you can't even change your behavior in your family? So there's an opportunity to do that with every interaction. Especially the ones where we don't get it right, where we go, oh shoot, you know, that really flew off the handle there, you know, I guess I was cranky or whatever. And it's part of being a human being.
Yeah.
And so then the real challenge, the real opportunity, again, opportunity, the real invitation is go back and apologize, go back and learn from that and go, the next time I get triggered that way, I'll have a better sense of what's triggering me and I won't react. Become less reactive. Mm-hmm. Lots of opportunities. Endless opportunities for that.
There are. And, you know, just in my own experience, like, this is something I try to do. And I think most people just find me like as kind of a weirdo.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of okay with that now. But, you know, I'll go up to people, like friends, and, you know, it's like, let's skip the small talk. Like, how's your soul? And, you know, it's like, are we really going to do this, Matt? Like,
let's get to the chase.
Or like, yeah, let's talk about meaty things. And my friends are like, I'm just going to go sit over here. Like,
away from you, weirdo.
So it's sort of this, you're kind of navigating these moments of like wanting to draw more out of people but also like not totally turning people off either.
Well, you know, there's in Buddhism, we call that upaya, which is skillful means, right? I mean, not everybody's at the same, and it's not even a question of levels. Not everybody at any time of the, you know, you can catch a person on a day where they're totally open, right? They're all of their pores are open. Their universal pores are open. And you can ask a question like that and get a really deep penetrating answer. And there's other days where they have just too much other stuff going on and it's not the right time. And so I think one of the things that we can learn to discern as a community is, when is it the right time for a question like that? And when is it not today, you know? Or what's the best entry point? Is it full frontal or is it, you know, tell me, how's your day going? Because that's the same question. It's, you know, let's talk about your soul is give me a sincere response to, how are you doing today, Matt? And, you know, that's an invitation that's not confrontational. That you can say, oh, you know, I've had better days. Or, yeah, things are going just fine. Or you can go, you know, I'm really pondering the meaning of the universe this morning. And whatever, you know. So there's,
don't most people think about that all the time? I don't know.
Well, yeah. it probably would be of great benefit if they thought about it more often, but you know, it's always the same question, really. It's just how deep do people want to get at any particular moment. So.
Well, and the lesson that I'm learning is just to not be frustrated or discouraged if that's not reciprocated at the level that I want it to be, but to be okay with people.
But, you know, the invitation sticks because, and this is the part that we never see, right? It's those ripples that we never see because they float away from us beyond our field of vision. And you never know where, you know, oh, Matt, gosh, that Matt guy, he's so weird. And he asks these questions that are like, and then a week later or a month later, you know, they're like, how is my soul doing? And I'm not doing so well. You know, I need to think about that.
Yeah.
And that launches something in them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even those questions can plant little seeds that germinate then far beyond our field of vision with benefits. So as long as we're sincere and our intentions are well manifested, it's usually okay.
Yeah.
Even if when you get a response that says, I'm going to go sit over there. Thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You never know. And I think there's some ego work there to do too. It's like, sort of pat myself on the back for being
A do-gooder.
The guru or whatever. Yes. We're already starting to work on next year's conference.
Yes.
In Santa Fe. Anything you want to share about that?
Yes, it's going to be our 30th anniversary at SDI, and so it's an opportunity, and it's in beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico, at the end of April. So we're hoping that lots of stars are aligning, cosmic spiritual stars as well as human stars. We have Sister Joan Chittister, Mirabai Star will be joining us. We're hopeful to get a really cross-section of luminaries to join this conference in Santa Fe and really provide a rich and engaging experience across workshops and institutes and through their keynotes, addresses, and through much more intimate dialogue between all of us in the community than we were able to do this year. So all of us at SDI are going to be working on ways to figure out how to craft this upcoming conference in a way that leads to more intimacy with the infinite than before. Mm.
The conference is April 23rd through 26th, 2020. Mm-hmm. So plan for it, put it on your calendar.
Yeah.
I know that the cost can be a hardship for people. So call us.
We're very committed to scholarships. We gave, I think it was close to $55,000, $60,000 worth of scholarships this year, which was more than the $40,000 or $45,000 we gave last year. So we're very serious and very committed about our scholarship program. Mm-hmm. If you have a need, please let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll work with you to make coming to this conference a real possibility for you.
Cool.
Yeah. We're thinking of having our retreat at, this is a multi-day retreat at Ghost Ranch in New Mexico, and which is thousands of acres of this liminal space. So that's going to be a very special opportunity as well for people.
Yeah. I've not been to New Mexico yet, but I sense it as being just a very rich liminal place, like you describe. And having done the journey and the retreat this year in Bellevue in the Pacific Northwest, it's a great way to continue engaging in themes around the conference, but in a much smaller, more intimate way. To go from a conference of hundreds of people to a retreat of 20 to 30 people. You really get to kind of marinate for a while. And also, like, I see it as sort of like an easy landing from the conference. It's not like the conference, you just get on the plane, you go home, and it's this sort of like shock of it being over. But it's more of a gentle, like, continuation.
And it allows you to process.
It allows you to process and decompress and start to really embed and embody some of these things that you are working on. In a community of spiritual companions. So those are highly recommended activities.
So there you go, a somewhat meandering conversation about what happens at our conferences. Our next one is April 23rd through the 26th in 2020 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's going to be our 30th anniversary conference, and it's going to be a big one. Presenters include Sister Joan Chittister, Roshi Joan Halifax, Mirabai Star, and others. We've recently posted a refresh on our website with some details. That website is sdievents.org. We do have a super early bird special with a deep discount if you register before September 15th. And as we said in our conversation, we provide need-based scholarships, sometimes covering the entire cost of the conference. So if the cost is prohibitive to you attending, we really encourage you to consider applying. This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others.